Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Wednesday, April 11th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Well, I guess it's a good thing the Warriors will not be facing the Utah Jazz in the first round of the playoffs. The worst loss under Steve Kerr, 40 points, 119-79. And Klay Thompson, good things to come out of this game. Klay Thompson will average 20 points for the season after scoring 23 points last night in Utah. But not much else good to come out of this game. Just a ton of lackadaisical Warrior play. Very good defense from the Utah Jazz. And even better offense from guys like Donovan Mitchell, Ricky Rubio, Rudy Gobert, and Derek Favors. Got a good show for you today. We're going to recap this game against the Utah Jazz. We're going to take a look at Stephen Curry's season, and then we're going to continue our season synopsis of the Warriors as a whole in the third segment. Thanks for listening to this podcast. You can get it wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, iOS, iTunes, and Google Play, as well as LockedOnWarriors.com and LockedOnSports.com. Make sure you bookmark those pages. You can also get this podcast on Facebook at Locked On Dubs and Locked On NBA Net. The Locked On NBA podcast is a daily podcast full of bite-sized nuggets for your enjoyment. It's the biggest stories as told by the local experts. Take a listen. You can also get in touch with me via Twitter at Kogitare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E, or at Locked On Dubs. I tweet from both accounts. You can also get in touch with me via email at alikocarter11@gmail.com. That's A-L-I-K-O-Carter11@gmail. I look forward to hearing from you. In addition to doing this podcast, I write for Forbes.com at the intersection of sports, business, and community impacts. Make sure you check out the Sports Money blog at Forbes. It's full of good stuff, and I'll keep you posted on all of my future stories. I also wrote for BleacherReport.com as a beat writer for the Warriors. As I'm from Oakland and I live in Oakland, a lot of my stories have to do with the Warriors, and I'm not going to shy away from being a fan of the team. I've been going to games since I was 9 years old, and nothing pleases me more than being able to cover the team I love. Speaking of coverage, let's get right into this game against the Utah Jazz, game 82. With this win, the Jazz moved all the way up to third in the Western Conference, having won their sixth in the row and 8-2 in their last 10. They have one more game to go, and they're tied with Portland, who's also 48-33. We have three teams at 47-34 after last night's game. In fifth is New Orleans, sixth is San Antonio, and seventh is Oklahoma City. Right now, it's looking like the Warriors will play Oklahoma City in the first round, and at 46-35 are the Minnesota Timberwolves with one game to play as well, tied for eighth with Denver, and currently in the eighth spot, Denver at 46-35 has won six in a row, really trying to get into the playoffs, and it's going to be a play-in game tonight, Minnesota and Denver, for the right to be able to play in the playoffs in 2018. I'll say this right now about the Utah Jazz. Donovan Mitchell is a star. He's going to be an all-star. He's very, very good at the game of basketball, does everything well, but particularly his shooting and playmaking, his offense, absolutely incendiary. Took Klay Thompson to task last night, and we'll get into his numbers. 22 points in 26 minutes on 8 of 12 shooting, 4 of 5 from 3. He loves that spot on the left corner where the break is. Loves that spot. I want to talk about a few other players. Joe Ingles with 8 assists, only 4 points, but was able to help 6 Jazz players get into double figures, led by Donovan Mitchell. Derek Favors had 16 points to go along with 9 rebounds, including 12 offensive rebounds overall for the Utah Jazz. That's just too many. The Warriors, to their credit, had 9 and were only out-rebounded by 3. They only had 14 assists in this game, led by Sean Livingston with 4. 14 assists. Just not going to cut it. They put up 86 shots, but only 14 assists. 30 makes, 14 assists on 30 makes. Usually their percentage of assisted baskets is much higher than just below 50%, as it was. I don't know what the deal was the only 15 turnovers. So it's not really a situation, though. 5 turnovers from Draymond Green. Yet again, a high turnover game from Draymond Green. But, you know, it wasn't just the turnovers that created, it was like the Warriors got completely out of their system. They not only turned the ball over, but there was more one-on-one play. But once again, the Warriors didn't have anything to play for. Klay Thompson was clearly playing for something, which is to average 20 points this season and continue his season of his consecutive seasons of averaging 20 points. He shot 27 times to get those 23 points, 9 of 27, 3 of 8 from 3. So he was a minus 40 on the night. Pacing the team, Kevin Durant only had 13 points. He was a minus 35 on the night. 5 of 12, 0 of 3 from 3, just 4 rebounds and 1 assist. Draymond Green with just 3 assists, more turnovers than assists. I guess they're just tired, you know? It's good that the season ended tonight and not tomorrow night, just one extra day of rest before they have to play on potentially Saturday or Sunday. We don't know yet. We really don't know anything. We'll know after tonight what the schedule is going to look like, but not a great game to end the season on for the Warriors, and I'm sure that limping into the playoffs was not exactly what they wanted to happen, but that's what happened. They limped into the playoffs, and they're going to have to practice themselves out of their bad habits to try, especially Draymond with the turnovers, Kevin Durant with the lack of vision on the court. Quinn Cook had an all right game, only 8 points. But Kevon Looney, bright spots. 6 of 9 from the field. He had this little face up jumper after a move that was really, really pretty. And I think there was one block of a jump shot in this game, too. Well, Klay Thompson got his shot blocked, a jump shot blocked. But I think Raul Neto had a blocked jump shot some point in the third or fourth quarter, and I can't remember who did it. Might have been Draymond, might have been Kevon. But that's the drinking game. You take a shot every time the Warriors block a jump shot. It's not going to get you drunk, but it'll get you tipsy. What else can I say about this game except that the Jazz really, really wanted the win, and the Warriors really, really didn't care? That's about it. You're listening to the Locked On Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Stay tuned for a breakdown of Stephen Curry's season. And we're back and we're talking Stephen Curry, but first a little bit of news. For the third straight offseason, Kevin Durant is going to reach the free agency market. He's declining his 2018-2019 player option. I'm assuming to help the Warriors in their free agency pursuits. As we recall, last year he took a very big discount of $25 million to stay with the Warriors, and I think that we can anticipate that that's what's going to happen again, a discount for Kevin Durant to allow the Warriors to put together the best team they possibly can. And Kevin Durant's not hurting for the money, obviously. One new endorsement he has, you can see the billboards all over the Bay Area, Alaska Airlines. And what does Stephen Curry say? Never count another man's money. Wise words from the two-time MVP, and we're talking Stephen Curry. He's played in 51 games this year. That's his lowest number since the lockout season of 2011-2012, where he only played in 26 games before being locked down, getting surgery on that ankle. But in those 51 games, 26 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 4-9-5 from the field, 4-2-3 from 3, 9-2-1 from the line to go along with 1.6 steals, and 3 turnovers to boot. That's better than a +2 assist-to-turnover ratio yet again for the 5-time All-Star. Steph only played 32 minutes a game, once again the lowest since the 2011-12 lockout season. And so per 36, he's averaging nearly 30 points, 29.7 points. And per 100 possessions, 39.8 points, which is his best number other than his transcendent season where he made 400 three-pointers in 2015-2016. As far as advanced stats, his box plus minus is 8.6. but he actually had a negative defensive box plus minus of minus 1.3, his worst number once again since 2011-2012. That means on the defensive end of the ball, the Warriors allowed 1.3 points more than the opposition when Steph was on the floor. But he's got a 9.9 offensive box plus minus, which means on the other end, the team scored 10 more points than the opposition when Steph was on the floor. And that's his best number since 2015-2016, the 403 season. So there is definitely a correlation between the Warriors' offense at its best and Steph Curry being on the floor. Only 212 three-pointers this year. That's not even in the top five. But if he had played all 82 games, based on his projections, he would have made 340, which is a ridiculous number, higher than the number that he made last year in 79 games. This year, Steph shot 59% of his shots from three-point range. That's 9.8 attempts per game, and he made 42.6% of them. Two-point field goals, 40.9%. He made 62.6% of his two-point field goals. Ridiculous. That's according to NBA.com. He took the highest percentage of his shots on pull-ups, 7 shots a game on pull-ups, making 46.8% of them. In less than 10 feet, he was money at 66%, and on catch and shoots, once again, money, 45.3%. And so you can look at that and imagine the kind of gravity that he would generate. But injuries kind of derailed that season. 51 games, definitely not a successful season for a player like Stephen Curry. The ankle injuries came back, not really with a vengeance, but long enough, tough enough to keep him out for a month early in the season. He did start the All-Star game, but then sprained that MCL after JaVale McGee fell on him, and he's been out for a long time and will be out until potentially the end of the first round of the playoffs. And so the Warriors are a different team without Stephen Curry. They play slower pace. They don't shoot quite as well. The defense keys in a little bit harder, and they don't move in the fast break in the same way. And so Steph really just opens things up for the Warriors. As I've said in the past, the Warriors' most important player, whether or not he's the best, is up for debate. A lot of people would go with Kevin Durant. I think I'm leaning with Kevin Durant. But Stephen Curry, what he does for the Warriors, for the offense has been designed around his ability to shift defenses, to get open shots. And without him on the floor, the Warriors are going to have to work that much harder for every shot. Another area Steph is money is when he's being closely guarded in the two-point range. He shoots 57% when a defender is between 0 and 2 feet away from him, 59% from the two-point range, and 41.7% from three. Interestingly, he shoots better closely guarded from three than he does tightly guarded. So 0 to 2 feet, he shoots 41.7%, but 2 to 4 feet, he shoots 31.1%. It's interesting that that number goes down so much, considering that we're talking about a difference of 2 feet, and the pressure, I guess, of being extremely closely guarded must ignite something in him. It really is an anomaly, because that is a 10% difference for a very small amount of airspace. Once you get to open and wide open, he's higher up there, 43% for open. That's 4 to 6 feet, and 6+ feet wide open, he shoots 47.1% from three. 71.0% on field goals overall, according to NBA.com, and 73% on two-point field goals when he's wide open. So think driving to the basket, nobody there, or creating a move on a defender and getting some separation, shooting that 15-16-footer. Having two players, and I'm talking about Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant here, having two players who can create their own offense is huge for the playoffs. When the game slows down and teams rely on one-on-one offense a little bit more, the Warriors are going to have to stay in their pass-happy mode, but when it comes down to close possessions, the end of the shot clock, having Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry out there is huge. And that's why it's going to be really tough in the first round, especially if the Warriors have to face the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have 3 one-on-one specialists. And as I've said in the past, are gamblers and are primed to take 4 games off of whoever they play in the first round. Dub Nation doesn't seem to be too worried about not having Stephen Curry in the first round. I'm a little worried, especially against the Thunder. And we'll see if the Thunder are who the Warriors play tonight once all the games are said and done. Stay tuned in the next segment for a continuation of the synopsis of the Warriors season. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Greetings, Hoops heads. It's time to talk about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. If your company is interested in a connected audience in the 18 to 49 demographic, you need look no further than Locked On Warriors. Podcasts are where smart advertisers are taking their products to the people, and Locked On Warriors is no different. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, we have extremely reasonable rates, and all you have to do is email me at alicocarter11@gmail.com, and I'll give you all the details. You have nothing to lose, so get at me. And we're back, and we're talking the Warriors season, and I'm just jumping around from subject to subject, and today we're looking at the overall leaderboards for different stats, and I'm going to start with three-point field goals. James Harden, 262 three-point field goals, and he has one more game to play. Ran away with this particular statistic. Stephen Curry had 212, Klay Thompson 226. Klay Thompson is fifth. It's the first time in years that Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson are not number one and number two in three-pointers made, and I'm going to take a look at Klay Thompson tomorrow because he had a really weird season because his numbers, from an efficiency standpoint, are absolutely astronomical, but from a volume standpoint, like his just volume went down, and so he only made 226 three-pointers this year, but he shot a ridiculous percentage. And if we look at three-point field goal percentage, Darren Collison is leading the league in three-point field goal percentage at .465. But Klay Thompson's right there. He's fourth at .440, Otto Porter .441, Reggie Bullock .445, and Joe Ingles .439. That rounds out the top five. So Klay Thompson had one of his best shooting years ever. He told me he wanted to be a 45% shooter. He'll end the season at 44. He gets to try again next year. But very close to a 50-40-90 season. Doesn't quite have the field goal percentage or the free throws, but extremely close to that number. And 44% from three is nothing to sniff at. A career high for the Washington State product. Steph Curry has led the league in free throw percentage, unless Chris Paul manages to inch past him tonight. 920 for Steph, 919 for Chris Paul in second place, 915 for Dame. And a lot of players, six players shot above 90%. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, right there at .889. Kevin Durant was this close to a 50-40-90 season. I might as well even round that up to an even 900 and just give him an honorary 50-40-90 this year because he's been that good from an efficiency standpoint. And speaking of efficiency, we're going to take a look at player efficiency rating as well as true shooting percentage and effective field goal percentage. Now, player efficiency rating is really popular. It's a catch-all for mostly offensive stats. It doesn't really take into account defense. 30 is really, really good. 15 is average. And James Harden is leading the league in player efficiency rating at 29.8. But Stephen Curry is right there in fourth place, 28.2. Kevin Durant, 26.0. And those are the two Warriors in the top 10 of player efficiency rating. Anthony Davis, LeBron James are second and third. Giannis is fifth. And LaMarcus is seventh. Kyrie, Dame, and Karl Anthony Towns round out the top 10. True shooting percentage basically takes into account the extra point that the three-pointer, well, true shooting percentage and effective field goal percentage are similar. But here's the difference. The idea behind effective field goal percentage is that shooting percentages should reflect the basic fact that a three-pointer is worth more than a two-pointer. While this doesn't seem like a groundbreaking revelation, field goal percentage fails to account for this. And so the effective field goal percentage brings in the three-pointer Effective field goal percentage equals 0.5 times 3-point makes plus field goals divided by field goal attempts. There are two big drawbacks of effective field goal percentage. The first is that it only sheds light on players who take and make a lot of 3-point shots. If you don't take 3-point shots, then your effective field goal percentage will be identical to your field goal percentage. The second problem is that it doesn't include free throws, which brings us to true shooting percentage. Effective field goal percentage was a step forward, but still incomplete. Doesn't include free throws. True shooting percentage is designed to be a comprehensive measure of how efficiently a player scores regardless of the method, takes effective field goal percentage and goes one step further. So true shooting percentage attempts to measure how many points a player scored relative to the number of possessions they used. More accurately, it's points per possession divided by 2 to look like field goal percentage. The formula is true shooting percentage equals points divided by 0.44 times free throw attempts plus field goal attempts times 2. The reason I wanted to take a look at this is because Stephen Curry leads the league by a healthy margin in true shooting percentage, the ultimate catch-all of shooting, because he led the league in free throw shooting, and he shot more than he ever has, even though he only played 51 games, more per game than he ever has. In three-point shooting, he shot 0.423, which is nothing to sniff at, and he made 4.2 a game. And then in two-point field goal percentage, he was ninth in the league at 0.595. You add all those together, you bring them together into a true shooting percentage equation, and you get the number one shooter in the league, 0.675, followed by Rudy Gobert at 0.660. And this is a big, big list. It's a list of big players. Rudy Gobert, Anthony Tolliver, Dwight Powell, Montrezl Harrell, and then Kyle Korver, the next shooter on the list at 6th. Clint Capella, DeAndre Jordan, Karl Anthony Towns, and then Kevin Durant rounds out the top 10 at 0.640. Effective field goal percentage, Stephen Curry falls to 5th. Doesn't include free throws, obviously, but still three-pointers. And it's big guys and Steph Curry. Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson are 13th and 14th, respectively, on the effective field goal percentage list. But yet again, another tip of the cap to Stephen Curry, the greatest shooter that the NBA has ever seen. That's about as much time as we have today. I'm going to be continuing these season synopses in the third segment when I can until the playoffs start. Either tomorrow or Friday, we'll have a joint podcast with the host of whichever team's Locked On Podcast Network show makes the 7th seed. We're going to be talking all the matchups, and I'll keep you posted on exactly when that podcast will air. Thanks for listening, and stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.